you'd like to read with us, I want you to pay close attention to the scripture we're reading today. And a thought that's on our mind. We're not reading very much scripture, but in 2 Chronicles, this is where Hezekiah has been too free, I guess you'd say, with all that God had blessed him with, that he was showing it and telling. You'll need to go back in 2 Kings too sometime or other and read this. 2 Kings in the 20th chapter, it gives even a little more plainer detail of what was behind this. But here Hezekiah showed those that come in wanting to know. He showed them everything that there was to know about him. All of his treasures, everything God had blessed him with, he went showing it. And here in the 31st verse of this 32nd chapter, it said, "Howbeit, in the business of the ambassador of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." Now, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. You know, and today there's all kinds of people that will tell you that whatever you do, it's upon the flesh. You don't have to worry about that when you stand before God. But you and I, God lets us know it's from the very depths of our heart is what we are. And it lets us know what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. Then if you'd like to read with us in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and reading the 12th verse, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I want each one of you to pay attention to this, of the last part of that verse there, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And then the last part of that verse we read in Chronicles, "God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." And today, I want each and every one of you to think for just a little bit what is in your heart, because God's going to know. He's going to bring it out in your life, some or another, just what is in your heart. Not that God can see it, but that you might see what's in your heart. Because a lot of times we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves, "Oh, we're a good person." We tell ourselves, "God loves me, and the thing that I do, it's going to be alright." But God wants you and I to know really what's in our heart. Do you think back there that God did not know what was in Hezekiah's heart? He knew already what was there. He left him alone. The Hezekiah, my father, what was in his own heart? You and I today, have you ever had God leave you alone to really reveal it to you what was really in your heart? What was the decision that you would make on your own without God there whispering over your shoulder continually, "This is what you should do"? But today, man, they will always to make the decision now, man. It will be alright. But you and I, if we make wrong decisions, they just carry a consequence that we'll have to pay for. And God is revealing unto man really what's in our heart. You know, when we're faced with something, and we come to the question of what do I do? You know, sometimes I've had people to say, "Well, you know, I didn't feel like it was wrong. I felt like it would be alright, so I did it. And they never took time to think of what would be the consequences of it. What's going to be the way that their fellow man is going to look up on it? Is it something that's going to edify God if I do it? Am I going to be a bigger and a stronger Christian if I partake of it? Or is this going to be something that I will regret out there in the future? God wants you and I not to make a decision on the spur of the moment and say, well, this won't hurt. It'll be alright. Nobody will know about it. You and I today is sure. And we do something. Those that stand in around will know about it. And it'll get back on us. You know, years ago, I took on a job to drive a tractor and trailer. And what I was told, I would go out and be back and we would be home on weekends. Well, the very first trip that I took, when we got to California, and we had left North Carolina, and when we got to California, we could not get a load back and we had a layover of 3 days. And because of that, that meant Sunday come. And I wasn't at home to be in church, as I thought. And you and I, we could say, oh, that's just the way that the job fall. But when I got home, I quit. But the man that I was riding with in North Carolina, people thought of him as being a good Christian man. Why? Because him and his family, when he was home, and they went to church together, they were looked upon as being all right. But when we was there, California, he sat that Sunday morning on the side of his bed talking to his wife because of the time difference. She had already come home from church and he was talking to her about it. And as soon as he got off the phone, he had a date with a woman at Truckers Exchange that he was going out with. And I told him, I said, if you ain't a peace over, talk to your wife so sweet, so tender. And they go out. He said, well, we're all the way across the country. But when we walk out and went in, then the truck stopped. They're over beside the motel where we was eating. There in the table said to me, from out in North Carolina, on a truck driver, you can't hide it. No matter where you go around the world, you do wrong the devil. Ain't gonna say that it gets down on you. You better take time to think, what's the cost of what I'm doing? Is it worth what it's going to cost me? What's in your heart is going to come out? Is your heart is pure and right with God? Then you'll make the right decision. Even when the Spirit of God is not there telling you this is the right way. Do this. You and I, sometimes, God leaves us alone to see what decision we're going to make. And you know, if you're not sure, then leave it alone. There is not a thing here in life that we need so desperately that it's worth losing our soul for. You know, look at Christ. When he come out of the wilderness of being tempted, the devil knew he was hungry. He hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. The devil knew he was hungry. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. There would not have been a thing wrong with Christ coming out of there picking up a stone and saying, I need something to eat, become a loaf of bread. But the devil was the one that made the suggestion. So what did he do? Man does not live by bread alone. There was something more important than listening to the story that the devil had to say, to the way he was wanting to go. You and I today, we need to stop and say, who is it talking to?
who is it trying to convince us that what we're doing is all right? Do you ever ask the question, is it all right for me to go to church? Is it all right for me to get out on my knees and pray? Is it all right for me to sit and read my Bible? Is it all right for me to sit and talk to a Christian friend? I'm not the same for God. That's something you don't have to even worry about. You know the answer is yes to that. Well, anything else out there, if you're not sure about it, it is not essential under your salvation or under your life. Then you better leave it alone.
Because you and I, it's time to realize that when this life is over, we're going to give an account of what's in our heart. You know, I've had people to tell me, and I've been there, me and my family years ago went to the beach, Ocean City, and my boss, because I had worked all kinds of hours, he paid for a motel for us. And we went down there and soon seen it wasn't a place for Christian people to be unless you was out real early in the morning or late in the evening on the beach. Any other time the sun was shining, it wasn't a decent place to be. Well, you know, there's all kinds of people that call themselves Christian that their desire is to go and lay upon the beach. And all you've got to do is walk along a crowd like that and listen to the comments from even young boys all the way up to old men, what they're saying about the women, what the men are saying about the women, what the women are saying about the men. It is nothing but love. And yet the Bible tells you and I that that is sin. And you and I today, if we go and prepare our bodies in a way to draw the lust of the opposite sin, God said it's sin, and we'll stand before God and give an account of it. All we got to do is look at that and say, is that a testimony that I want for my life? I went and seen people, they will be handed out pictures of their meditation, and then accidentally forgot to remove some. And you see the embarrassed look on their face when here God won out of some place they have been, something that they had on that they looked shame for their brothers and sisters in Christ to see. When God seen what was in your heart, He knew what was there because you went and you were comfortable to lay like that. You might have it covered up back home, but God knows what's there. And when we stand before it, we're going to be judged for what's in the heart and pay the consequence. Because if love of God is there, then we're going to want to obey His Word. And listen to this verse again. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I had all of you here at the church know, I had to take a stand on Scripture and what the Bible says. And I have received letters from people that has, I don't even remember if they've ever been in this church, but I don't think they have. But I've received letters from them that said that because of what that I've said, that I am lower than a snake. Just because you tell somebody what the Bible says, well, you and I today, what is that? That's that Word of God. It divided asunder. It brings it right down to where you and I live. It pointed out just what we are. That all might say, what's our intent? What's our desire?
what's in our heart. And if we won't listen to the word of God, if we fight back against it, and just because somebody was standing on compromise, we'll say they're lower than us. What do we think of that word? What do we think of that God that sent it? I'm only about me telling you what it says on the pages of God. It's not me, but I'll stand and give an account of every word that I speak. You and I, we don't accept the word of God. We'll stand before God and be rejected. Why? His word is what we're being judged by, and it's sharper than any sword. It's going to cut right down to the very fire of the bone and reveal just what we are.
And if we don't love that word of God, when we stand before Him, we have no part with God. Why? Christ said, I'm the living word. That's not just where He said, come and follow me. That's everything. The living word from in Genesis where it said, in the beginning. Under Revelation where it said, amen. It every bit was inspired by the Spirit of God through His Son. Christ in the beginning was there with the Father when this world was created, when human beings was created. He was there, went right with the Father through every bit of it. He was there all the way down to the Old Testament, sending and speaking of the prophet that they might know what God required. Even there, you'll find if you read it, Christ revealed what it looked like from the cross. You say, well, how can He know? He had died yet on the cross. That's why God is God and we're just bad. God sees from beginning unto the end of time for man. He sees what the sacrifice would have to be, and He was willing to pay it. Even understanding what it was going to cost me. You and I today, He knows what's in our heart. You can sit there and lie to yourself and say, I love God. But when the storms come and the trials come, do we get on our knees and say, Lord, give me the strength? Or do we look up and say, why God? Why me? I deserve better than this. When God looks in our heart and says, I've got you to see, are you gold? Are you just trained? I want you to come for it and be gold for me. You will not today. God will do
what we need if we'll surrender unto Him. And you know, I have never been put to the test where it revealed what was in my heart. Well, what I wasn't better for it. You know, you can say, well, you're an old man. You're a preacher. Sometimes me and you, no matter how old we are, we find ourselves telling ourselves something that's not true. We'll listen to the story that the devil's whispering in our ear. Oh, we're okay. We're good. We've done so much. It's all right if we fail here. Or the devil might come to you and tell you when you know that you shouldn't do something. And he might come to you and tell you, it's not going to hurt this one time. And do you realize if you just listen to him, though you may not take any action, if you're sitting there just contemplating it, that's revealing what's in your heart. You know, that's like if I was walking down the street and a man come out of a bar with a jug of liquor in his hand and walked up to me and said, here, drink with me. I'm celebrating. and I don't want nobody to not celebrate with me. If you have to even think 1 second the answer, something's wrong with your heart. You should come back real quick. No, if you've got anything to celebrate, that's not where you do it. What's in that bottle ain't going to help you to celebrate. If you've got anything to celebrate, give the praise to the one that deserves it, God. You and I today, that so many times in life we fail God because we're not honest in our own heart with our own self. You know, there's all kinds of people will talk about somebody because of things that they do or things that they have said. And right within our own heart or our own life, we got envy, we got strife, we got all kinds of, I guess you'd say, discontent. And yet God said as a Christian we should be content no matter what stage we're in, no matter where we're at or what's going on. You know, there's a song, or I don't know what you call it, one exactly a song, but it's a comical thing that was out years ago about this man, and it was hard for him to be thankful when he had his finger caught in the door. Well, you know, the Bible said for us to be thankful in all things. Well, you know, you could say, well, yeah, I could understand that. Well, he had a whole lot to be thankful for. Because he could have been underneath the car. His whole body could have been run over. So, you know, you can say all kinds of things. No matter where we're at, it could be worse. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And sometimes God allows little things to come to us that we might see what we should be thankful for, the great big things. You know, the story about the man that was complaining because he had no shoes. He saw someone that had no feet. You and I, sometimes we grumble and complain because God, so-and-so, and bless so much more than me. Look what they've got. Instead of saying, Lord, look what you blessed me with. God, I'm richly blessed because you heard and you answered my prayer. God, I can remember when I failed you so and you forgive me of that. Lord, you don't hold it against me to this day. You blessed me when I don't deserve it. God, I'm so thankful. You and I today, we live praise unto God. God will give you an blessing. But when we grumble and complain, we just shut the pipeline down where nothing can get through. Until we get our heart right with God. There's no king back there. No, he's been blessed by God. Because he went and showed everything. And was looking. And I was saying, look at what I got. Because all that, it all disappeared. And all that he had laid up ended up being carried off into Babylon. And his kingdom become part of another kingdom. Why? Because he did not look at the things that he had as being blessings from God the way that he should. You and I today, you know, we can all listen to a message like this and look around and say, well, yeah, that person over there, they don't have the right heart about them. They just aren't forgiven. They aren't this. They aren't that. This message is not for us to do that. This message for us to look into our heart and see what's there. What's in our heart? If you want to do any comparing, find you some Christian that is the one that when anytime you need prayer, that's the one you want to call upon to pray for you. And look at their life and see how yours is measuring up. Or if you don't know anybody, if you're such a good person that you don't know anybody that you can point to, that you feel like you're closer to God than you, then start picking up the ones in the Bible
Go back and get Paul's life and see if what's in your heart, what was in his. Paul was able, when they beat him, when they stoned him, he was able to get up and forgive. Stephen there, as he fell beneath the stone, he showed what was in his heart, the true love of Christ. He said, Father, forgive them. You and I today, can we do that very thing? When somebody says, oh, you're lower than a snake, can you say, God, forgive them? They don't even know what they're talking about. God, show mercy unto them, that they might find forgiveness. That they might know in their heart what I know in my heart, that my sin has been forgiven. That they might know that there is a God, that He's real, that His Word is something to be treasured, it's something to build and stand upon. Nobody goes out here and scratches out in the dirt and begins to build a house, but they'll dig down below the cross line. They'll pour a bullet, they'll put steel in it, and that's where they start to build. Well, you and I, we need to spend some time digging in the Word of God till we find that wrong, and then start to build upon it. See what that foundation is.
Then God wants us to stand upon, and when we do, we'll find that part of the Word of God that is hard, that cuts. You know, have you ever had yourself, you know, I used to do this in school, just one of them weird things that boys do. I'd take a needle and I could stick it under my skin and come out another place. And the girls just thought that was odd, just grossed them out. Well, you know, the trick was, I was usually finding a callus, and I wasn't going into the quickie part of the meat. You know, and because they were delicate, they could stick it the same place, they couldn't stand it. You know, they didn't have the calluses where I did. Well, you know, it didn't even hurt. I pulled a little bit, but it didn't hurt. But you go sticking it up in your arm or something like that, there's no calluses there. The minute you go through the skin, you get to the nerves. It's quickie. Well, you know, the Bible, it's sharp. It said here, what we read to you, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and mire. It's sharp. The Word of God. It will cut you, me, any that listens to it. You will never get to the point in your life where when you sit and you read and study the Word of God, that it don't get to where it begins to prick you. Reveal to you just what you are. Shows you them tender areas where you need to do something about. You know, if there's ever been a time that Christian people need to have some calluses on their knees where they spend time on a prayer and talking to God, it's today. We need to get to the point where our heart is tender. It can be broken easy when we see ourselves what that we really are. Not come before God with pride and say, Lord, I'm better than so and so. I'm done this or I'm done that. But come before God and say, Lord, I see my failure. I realize I'm not what that I should be. Lord, help me to become just what you'd have me to be. Lord, shine your light into my life that I might see and realize just what I am. And when we begin to look there, we'll find God will show us. And when we see, we might not be happy with it, because it may cost us something to change. we might have to lay aside something. You know, David, all of you remember the story of David when he was going out to give a sacrifice. And he was going to this threshing floor. And the man that owned it was going to give him all of it for doing a sacrifice. And David said, no, I will not offer unto God that that don't cost me something. He went and he paid the man for it. You know, today, that's the way everybody is. They want to offer to God that that costs them nothing. That that costs them nothing. But when it comes to that point where God said, denying old self, taking up your cross and following me, all that's asking too much. Christ denied Himself for me and for you. We need to remind ourselves, what have I sacrificed unto you? He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And after you've done all of that, you'll find you have nothing to brag about. Why? That's just your reasonable service, is presenting your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Each one of us today, I beg you, look into your heart and your life. Examine yourself. What's in your heart? Can you honestly say when you look into your heart, that there is what God is pleased with? Don't you think when God looked down upon Stephen as he was there being stoned to death, and Stephen said, Father, forgive him. Don't you think when he seen heaven open unto him, that was God saying, Stephen, I believe with the message that you just delivered, it cost you a life, but I believe with it. Why? Because I'm ready to accept you. Don't you think there when John the Baptist look on Herod in the eyes and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, and because of that, that woman hated him so, that there come a time when she had the opportunity, she asked for his head, and that's what they give her, was the head of John the Baptist. Why? Because he told her exactly what the Word of God said. But don't you think that God, when John the Baptist's head was taken, God was right there accepting him home? Why? Because he wasn't willing to compromise. You and I today, all of the men in the Bible that laid their life on the line, they were persecuted because of their stand that they took for God. They weren't willing to compromise it, but because of that stand is why they left this world with a testimony. Heaven is what awaits me. You and I today, we must follow in those footsteps and have that same mind and heart to please God at any cost. And if we do, then when we stand there, we don't have to be afraid. Has God ever left you alone to see what was really in your heart? You know, I've had people, and I've been there in my life, where you talk to people and they say, I don't know what's wrong. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and I just can't feel the Lord. It's just as if the Spirit is gone, and I don't know a thing that I've done. And I've just prayed and prayed and prayed to try and find out. I've been there. And when you don't know of anything, when you've taken inventory and you don't come back with something, most of the time we can find some failing. But it still might not be the thing. It might be that God just left us alone a while to see what we would do when we had to stand by faith. You and I today, somewhere or another in our life, maybe more than one, God's going to reveal unto us what's in our heart. Do you know what's in yours today? Are you what God wants you to be? While we get some song to sing. God knows what's there in you and me. And if we'll read His Word, it will reveal unto us what's there. If we love the things that gets close, the things that hits, I guess you say, home with us. Those chastisement scriptures that we read and it just reveals, just like we were looking into a mirror. If we love those scriptures, that shows what's in our heart, doesn't it? But if we read them and we go away feeling just a little upset and a little angry, and we never want to read that part of the Bible anymore, and we're unwilling to change, that also says what's in our heart. Don't tell God, I love you, if we won't do what He says to do. You know, I was seeing a kid yesterday, just a small kid, and he wouldn't listen to his parents. And I was just thinking, you know, at this age, he probably loves them the way a kid does. But a kid that grows up with no more respect, when they get to be a teenager, nobody's going to think they love their parent. Why? They're showing such disrespect. They don't do a thing that they say. Why should the world believe you when you say you love God and you don't do what He said? When you're not obedient unto His Word, don't tell me you love God. Show me. Live the life. Be an example. Have that testimony that His Word is precious unto you. Then I'll believe you when you say, I love God. While we're singing, will you come? Is your heart what God would have it to be? You know, each one of us, probably sometime or other in our life, has had the devil come to us and tell us, you might as well quit. Nobody believes you're a Christian. That's no reason to quit. That's a reason to get out somewhere or another and pray earnestly. You and I today, we must live each and every day of our life just what God would have us to. And I beg you today, in your heart, if you ask God, Lord, reveal it to me, what's in my heart? God will. But it might be a hard test getting there for you to see. You and I today, if we'll sit and read God's Word, every time we sit down, say, Lord, let it speak to me that I might see just what You'd have me to be. God can. You know, people, we're living in a day and time when people think you're just a little bit touched. You're just not all there if you talk about God speaking to you. But you know, God's Word speaks to anybody who wants to sit down and read it. But then I have had God speak to me so plain, I turned because I thought there was somebody there speaking in an audible voice. It was that plain unto me. Does that mean that I'm a little crazy? No, that means God wanted to make sure I understood. And if you're questioning, if you don't know, say, God, let me know for sure. God can speak to you just that plain.